Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12, we'll read verse 38 through 44. Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them in his doctrine or his teaching, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations or greetings in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the uppermost rooms at the feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld or watched how the people cast in money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And an English farthing is like a dollar, I suppose. So maybe she threw in 50 cents. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, "Verily or truly, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they threw in out of their abundance, but this widow out of her want or need or destitution, she threw in all she had, even all her money." Heavenly Father, help us today as we study the Word of God. Please speak to us, and we give Jesus Christ all the credit for all that's done here today. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is John the Baptist, part 41, and our detour into the book of Malachi, part 13, and most likely we'll finish up Malachi next week. But in preparing for this sermon, this lesson, I took a couple of weeks for background, and I went over the Ten Commandments. One of them says, "Thou shalt not covet." Another one says, "Thou shalt not steal." And today, we're talking about tithing. This is the famous tithe chapter. We talked about in Abraham's day, they would hold a rod, two guys would hold a rod, and they would run the sheep through or underneath the rod, and the tenth one to pass under the rod, they would cull him out. And all of the tenths, or the tithes, for that's what tithe means. It means tenth. They would give those to God. But he says in verse 6 and 7 of Malachi, he says, to return unto me, and I'll return unto you, God says. But in the famous verses, will a man rob God? Strange thing. How do you rob? How do you steal from God? But when something is rightfully his, and in the Old Testament, the tenth, the tithe, was his. And he said, you've robbed me by not paying your tithes and shorting me on your offerings. In today's churches, and I have attended a few different denominations. I started out Baptist, I suppose, for a short while. Been in and out of Baptist churches, I guess. And a lot of Pentecostal churches. And one Methodist, and I preached in or attended a lot of different churches. A lot of them will say that you ought to pay tithe, and then after that, or anything over that, is an offering. But that's not the case. That's not the case. In this context, he said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, how do we rob you, God? He said, in tithes and in offerings. And he says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Okay, he said, you're not paying your tithes, and you're not giving your offerings. But in this context, we know what a tithe is, a tenth. But an offering is not, okay, well, I gave my 10%, but if I give more, that's an offering. Or, well, I gave my tithe to church, but I want to give my offering to that charlatan on TV, or whatever the case. An offering, an Old Testament offering, is an animal sacrifice. A lamb, a sheep, a goat, a bullock, or a calf, or whatever the case. Or sometimes flour, or a drink, wine, or whatever, or a dove. And there may be something else, maybe I forgot. But it's animal sacrifices. Hey, you guys, you're not paying your tithes, you're shorting me on tithes, and you're not bringing me a sacrifice, an offering. Now, I want to stress, and we'll get there in just a minute, tithes are for Jews, specifically in the Old Testament. Many churches will teach on tithing, but it's not for Christians. It's not for Christians. You should give to God. You should support your church, what have you. By all means, you need to give money. You need to throw money in the bucket. That's something that Christians do. We trust God with our money. And God tests us. Even this passage here, which we'll get to in a second to finish it. To trust God with your money, that's something that God wants. But there's no rule in the epistles for Christians to give 10%. Some churches demand it. Some churches say that you should. Some churches, if you don't pay your tithe, They won't let you sing in the choir or whatever. I said last week that I'm an equal opportunity offender. That if your church teaches something wrong and I speak against it, well, too bad. Well, the church that I belong to, or rather the denomination that I belong to, and I'm an ordained minister with that denomination, they say, they teach that I should tithe. And as a matter of fact, if I'm a preacher, if I hold credentials or papers with that denomination, that I need to tithe, and if I don't, they'll kick me out. And the bishop asked me to be a part of it. The bishop asked me to come help him as he rebuilds our district. And I said yes, and I'm following the rules because that's what they said to do. But I want to say again, the New Testament, the epistles, Acts, whatever, it does not say that Christians should have a 10% number. But make no mistake, God does want you to give. He wants you to support the work of God. Okay, so let's finish the famous portion of Scripture, the one that everybody knows. Malachi 3:10, and I guess through 12. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat or food in mine house. And this is talking of the priests and the Levites. They didn't have an inheritance. You've heard of the tribe of Judah, maybe the tribe of Reuben or whatever, and Gad or whatever. They were all given an inheritance, a big portion of land, we might say a parish, or if you're in Mississippi, a county. You had Judah County. You had Manasseh or Issachar Parish. And whoever lived there, they had their own plot of land, their own piece of property, subdivision, whatever the case. But the priests and Levites were special. The tribe of Levi didn't have an inheritance. They didn't have their plot of ground. They were given a few cities, and they had a house, and they could tend a garden out back or whatever, but they didn't have Levi Parish. Because God said, "Hey, Levites, I am your inheritance. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." That's because the people gave, and then that money was given to the priests and the Levites for them to live off of. And today, we have churches. Churches have light bills, maybe a mortgage, maybe a tax bill, maybe any number of expenses. And we should support our church if it's a good church. And if it's not, hey, go find another one. But you should support your church. You should give to it. You should pray for the services. Pray for the pastor. You should be all in at your church. Again, you should trust God with your money. But he says, bring all that stuff into the storehouse and prove me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer, etc. We know the verses. That's a promise that Christians have, to the extent that as we trust God with our finances, then he counts us worthy and he gives us more stuff. Now, it's not sow a seed into this ministry. It's not hundredfold return. It's not give to get. I want to stress that because in the Ten Commandments it says, thou shalt not covet. And in Mark, the passage I read where Jesus watched everybody as they threw into the bucket, the rich guys, they threw maybe $100 bill, but this widow didn't have any money. She managed to find 50 cents and threw it in, and she sacrificed. She trusted God. The guy with the big house, all paid for, good job, what have you, throws in $100 bill. He's not going to miss that. But this widow, you understand the contrast. She trusted God with her finances. And God expects us to learn to trust Him. Again, there's no set number, no set percentage for Christians, but we are expected to give to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I can't go through it all, but it talks about giving, and in that day, in that time, in that situation, the church, they weren't well received. They were persecuted in Jerusalem, Judea, whatever. They were persecuted all throughout Asia Minor, where the churches were. They were persecuted left and right. And I don't remember the details. I don't remember. I could look it up. I apologize that I don't know it off the top of my head. But the churches, they were taking up offerings, money in this case, collections, whatever term you want to use. And as you read chapter 9, you'll see that they were collecting in this town, this church in that town, whatever, the other church in the other town, they were all collecting and they were writing letters back and forth and the apostle was directing it. Collecting money so that when finally they had the money from all the different towns and the time was right, they would get a few guys together and say, okay, let's travel to wherever the need was. And I think it was Jerusalem. I don't remember. But all the churches collected and then they were going to send the money to bring relief to the church in whatever town it was. They were starving. They really had a hard time because of persecution, and the churches that were less persecuted, they would put aside a little bit every week, Paul said, and they would help their brothers that were worse off than they were. But in this chapter, and in other chapters, actually in other books, they talk of, hey, let's trust God with our money. But about the 10% thing, and that not applying today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's read verse 5. And he's talking about these collections, and he said, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make it up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before. Hey, we talked about that before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Now, let's talk about pirates. Jean Lafitte, for instance. They would do their evil deeds or whatever, and they would come back with the loot or their bounty. Hey, look what we got. We understand that concept. And Paul talks of bounty. Hey, Look what we got. As opposed to covetousness. Hey, we trusted God with our money, and hey, look what we were able to collect. Wow, that's a lot of money. Glad we did that. And in verse 6 and 7, he said, "But this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully." If you're stingy, if you can't trust God with your money, don't expect a whole lot of blessings. But if you're liberal, if you're free with your money, hey God, I trust you. Here, let me put another 10 in that bucket. Then it's a sign to God that you're trusting Him. But I want to say again, forget those guys on TV that tell you, hey, sow a seed, send us $100 and God will send you $10,000. No, it doesn't work like that. And that is greed, and that is covetousness, and that is using God like a roulette wheel. Hey, I put it on number 9 on red, and look at me, I won. God is not like that. You don't give to get. You don't give to be greedy. And Paul said, forget about covetousness. But verse 7, every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. I gotta pay my tithe. No. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Well, if I don't put enough, I mean, they take notes of everything that we give every week, and if I don't give enough, they'll look down on me. No. But out of the abundance of your heart, it says God loves a cheerful giver. But let's jump down to verse 15, and we'll close with this. Again, Paul is teaching about giving, and there's thanksgiving, and there's trust, and all this stuff. And he quotes Isaiah 55, which is great. You ought to read it. But he says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Don't forget, as you're giving, as you're trusting God with your money, that God trusted you with His Son. God's unspeakable gift that He gave His only begotten Son, nailed to a cross for you and me. So, learn how to trust God and be a cheerful giver.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why won't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you. Waiting again. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.